everybody, welcome back to the Dom and Colin podcast. We should probably come up with a name for this podcast one of these days, or just incorporate our names into it somehow, because Dom and Colin do not come around here very often. Dom especially, I don't know that I've ever talked to him on this podcast, but I am back here today with, of course, usual co-host Brian Scally. How you doing, Scally?
Hello, hello. It's funny because you were out for a couple weeks and I was like, what do we call this? Because I'm never the one who has to deal with it. And then I went back and like re-listened, was like, how does Matt even open these? But I realized, just say the recap, that's all. So otherwise, all things considered, doing good and happy to be back here discussing what is a pretty big moment for the challenge.
Yeah, I feel like every time I think about us potentially getting a name, it just never ends up happening. So maybe one day, maybe season 36, if and when it happens. But we have a very special guest today, and this is another one of those bizarre situations for me where I feel extremely weird not being the host while I'm on a podcast with this person. But we have here to talk about this episode of the challenge, Taryn Armstrong. How are you, Taryn?
I'm great. It's always fun not being the host.
How often is that the case for you? Not often.
No, but you know how great I am at naming things.
Oh, so do you have any suggestions?
The Challengers.
I have to imagine someone has that already.
Definitely.
I don't know.
I kind of like the name of this group chat that I came up with in about 3 seconds. The Burger Kings.
Burger Kings is good. Might not be relevant after this exact call, but pretty good otherwise.
I don't know. Of the usual guests, I feel like Haley would consider herself a Burger King. And just anybody we have on, I feel like we can make it fit in any way. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Taryn, happy to have you here. It's been a while that I've wanted to get you on here, and we've talked about, you know, at one point or another. And then I got scared a little bit this season because it started to go in a weird direction. And I even saw a tweet from you where you noticed that it was going in that direction. And I was like, oh, boy, we might not be able to get him this season. But you're still sticking in it.
Yes. When they started doing the cliffhangers, I was like, oh, are they going to do this thing? I don't know about this.
Yeah. But you've been on board with the challenge for what, like 3 seasons now? And have you been pretty consistently watching every week?
Yeah. Yeah. Since I think War of the Worlds.
Yes. The first one.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
The what's his name?
Turbo one. Yes. All right. Well, there's been a lot since then, and I can't believe we haven't gotten you on since then at all. But I feel like you probably talk about this on Twitch or other places once in a while, right?
Yeah. I talk about it on Twitch, usually on like a Friday. People will ask questions about it, and I'll give my thoughts. But nothing too formal. And I do want to say, I looked up the Challengers podcast. There's a podcast called The Challengers with Amy Brenneman.
Okay.
But... Not about the challenge. I don't know. I feel like it's open.
Okay. I mean, I really like Burger Kings, but I'll think about it.
It's funny because I've been watching Big Brother 4 for the blockumentary,
right.
And they had Burger King sponsoring them back in Big Brother 4, and I was like, wow, remember a time when Big Brother sponsored reality shows? And then I watched tonight, and I was like, oh, I guess it still happens.
That's bizarre. Yeah, no, it doesn't happen anymore. And then Burger King is like probably back-to-back seasons here has been sponsoring the challenge, or at least it's happened sometime recently. I don't remember specifically if it was last season, but I guess they are the last remaining franchise to be desperate enough to come after these reality shows. I don't know. Before we talk into, there's a whole lot that happened in this episode, obviously, which we'll get to it, but just catch me up on your thoughts about this season. What are you liking, not liking, in terms of the format, in terms of the players, just anything you want to get off your chest from the past X amount of weeks that you have not been able to talk about?
I mean, it's been all right so far. I think that still nothing has really topped that first World of Worlds season that I watched, which I felt like had some really good moments. I think this one has been more fun than the previous one that I watched, which was, the one with, what's his name?
Like the one from...
Polly.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right. My main complaint with that one was that people were just complaining the whole season about Polly, which was more annoying than Polly himself, in my opinion. But then this one has been pretty fun. I like it a little better when there's not teams. This Red Skull thing has been kind of interesting in terms of the strategy. And I think that overall, some of the storylines have been kind of fun, even though some of them have also been a little not as fun.
Sure. Especially, like I said, the fact that they were going with cliffhangers, I was like, this is a concern that I always have, you know, in terms of getting people into the show. Nobody wants a cliffhanger. And I know that that mm-hmm. was something that you didn't like when you first started watching. And, you know, they've been so good to not be doing that in a while. And it's unfortunate that that they did go back to it. I don't know. They seem to be back on track for a good portion of the season for the most part. But yeah, Scally, in this episode, did we even see this coming last week? I can't remember. It has been truly 7 years since we last recorded our last podcast, 7 days ago. But did we expect that this was potentially in the cards?
The Bananas versus Wes?
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely, and that's why I was going to ask Taryn if he had known that this was coming, because in like all of the previews for the season, it was hyped up, TJ being like, I've been waiting my whole challenge career. So we were like, all right, this is Bananas versus Wes, or everyone's going to be disappointed. So I think we've known it's been coming all season, and I've just been waiting for things to line up. And very early in the episode, I felt like it was obvious, and even to someone who may not have known that this was definitely happening this season.
I mean, I will say that I found out tonight that they've never been in an elimination together. So it's definitely not something that I thought TJ was waiting for 15 years. I did notice the preview for this episode last week where Bananas was like, you know, we've been building our friendship this whole season and you're going to reverse it or whatever. And I was like, oh, they're probably going to get into some kind of fight. And then when I saw what the fight was about, it kind of seemed like, okay, I think it sounds like based on the way Wes is talking that he's going to throw himself in, but I still wasn't sure until it happened.
I have two things here. One is just quickly, like, to update the audience, if anybody has never heard you talk challenge before, your history with the show is that you did begin with War of the Worlds watching in real time, and before that the only season that you saw is Cutthroat, right? The one that I recommended to you. Has there been any
yes.
other season?
I started to watch the first one with Victor and Natalie, but I gave up on it pretty quick.
Right. Well, there are a lot of good seasons in there, and if you find time after Big Brother 4, I definitely would recommend if you find a way to watch them. But yeah, so that's the, you know, thing that I was thinking about, how you probably were not as tuned in to the West Bananas rivalry, besides the fact that they, you know, beat us over the head with it the entire season of, we hate each other, but we're coming together for the first time here. So, you know, at least they fill you in for anybody who has not been watching all that time. And my second question, which the first one wasn't really a question, but you, what's your take on Wes and Bananas? Do you have a favorite? Do you not like, or do you like, or do you not like them in, I'm not sure how they line up with your usual liking of players / characters.
I mean, I will say I find it difficult to really have favorites on the challenge. I'm probably not the greatest guest in the world with these really strong takes, but I don't know. I feel like what I'm finding is that I like one person in one season, and then the next season I think they're super annoying and terrible. And then the next season I'm like, oh, I guess they're funny again. And so it really feels like I'm very much a slave to the edit. And I will say that I am moderately aware that there is some serious Bananas hate in the community in terms of like what kind of guy he is, I guess. I don't really have much of the baggage of him like screwing people over in the past or anything like that. I think he is generally kind of funny in terms of what I see on the show. He's not my favorite, but he's not somebody that I don't like. He's usually somebody that can be somewhat entertaining. And Wes is somebody that that I tend to enjoy. I like how obscenely arrogant he is for no reason.
Did you like their attempt at the Chilltown style confessionals throughout the season?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked that they were working together. I thought they were much funnier together than they ever were apart.
Yeah, Scally, I feel like the tip-off for me that this could have been a scenario that happened tonight, West versus Bananas, was the fact that we got zero confessionals of them standing together at the top of the episode. They were already split.
Yeah, I feel like, did they not at all during the, they had like a little montage pretty early on, but yeah, definitely was noticeably like, because they were talking about their own interests rather than their shared interests at this point, so you could tell that they were probably diverging at this point, at least for this episode, but it did not, there was a kind of a bunch of tip-offs, I think, as the season went on.
This edit tonight was, how many montages were there of old mm-hmm. clips of Bananas and Wes? It's like we've seen this at least two times already this season, and then we got it like another two separate times tonight. Not that I didn't think there was a need for that much of it.
I felt like they kept playing the same clip.
They did, yes.
They were just yep. like shoving each other. And then they played like two clips from seasons that I have seen, which is pretty hard to do. So I felt like they weren't really digging too hard.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of early on, it was more so that Wes was rivals like with Bananas' like crew rather than like Wes and Bananas were the rivals. And then it just so happened that Bananas was, and Bananas used to kind of be like the low man on the totem pole there. And he just ended up being the one that stuck around the longest and like carried on that feud. So I think maybe there weren't as, and I haven't done a full rewatch in a while, but maybe there aren't as many clips of those two going directly at it that you can pull, but it definitely was the same clips over and over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're on the topic of the two of them. Let's not, you know, bounce around too much. Let's dive right in. I kind of want to start with let me ask you, Taryn, somebody who is big into strategy in these games, what do you make of Wes's decision to go into this elimination having already known that Bananas obviously was going to be the one in after they had been spending this entire season working together?
I mean, I don't think it matters that much. I mean, the idea that like, well, don't do this, we're working together, kind of, it's like, okay, but what does that, how does that serve me? Right. Like if one of us has to go, one of us has to go, whether or not we're working together doesn't really have anything to do with it. If this is the last chance to get a Red Skull, then I might as well put myself in. You know, it's in fact, if we're working together, giving both of us a chance to get a Red Skull actually increases our odds of success, right? In some ways, I guess in other ways it decreases them. But I didn't mind that too much. I guess looking at it, I don't know what he thought this was, but the fact that this is kind of a crapshoot competition, I was like, oh, well, I would not want to put myself in that. But I think he was really fearful that this was going to be his last chance. So I guess he was willing to roll the dice.
Right. Scally, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we saw people like CT early in the season, like CT week two was like, no one's ever going to throw me in. So we're at a point where it's so late, we don't know exactly how many eliminations are left. So I didn't think it was a bad call by either of them to really want to go in. I was curious, like, did Johnny think ultimately, like, if Wes gets voted in, then I can't throw myself in or vice versa. And so that's why he like took the charge to get voted in immediately rather than actually trying to win or trying to get voted in by the tribunal. But I feel like neither one of them really has a leg to stand on in terms of being annoyed that they had to go against each other. They both really were doing what was best for them at that point.
Yeah, it was such a strange like dynamic between the two of them where they obviously have been working together all season long. And then here you have this situation where Wes gets into the tribunal and then Bananas finds a way to take the power into his own hands by having the entire house put him in. And then Wes spends the rest of the episode like all down and out complaining about the fact that he like this was his moment. It was supposed to be his moment, and now he has to make a decision between what he feels like is like betraying his new friend versus taking the moment that he rightfully won, and you know, he won trivia, and using that as an opportunity for him to get his own Red Skull, which I don't know why he felt like this was going to be such a betrayal, because I feel like Bananas must have known that Wes wanted to go in. And I mean, we also probably can talk about how much of this was specifically because these guys knew what a big TV moment this would be. Scally.
Yeah, it was interesting because when Wes is talking about like reasons not to throw himself in, he's like, I could really hurt my friendship with Bananas. And it was like, or that there are weaker competitors left that you could go against, hopefully in the future, and like keep your alliance going, et cetera, et cetera. Even if you win, someone could get the wise idea to throw you in later. So like there's all those things on the board, and Wes seemed really concerned about like losing this friendship, which obviously we saw highlighted at the end. But I, as much as they were working together, it still seemed like a marriage of convenience rather than a like genuine love fest that it turned out to be. So I was interested to see that.
And I'm honestly surprised to see that Wes is the one that ends up going out here. It feels like he had so much more story to tell. I know that, like, well, Taryn, I don't know what you think about like the edit of this show. If you try to read into it in any way, like obviously so many people do with Survivor, but I, you know, here and there I have been, you know, we noticed that Wes and Swaggy and Bailey have been tied. Wes had Bananas. It seemed like he just was so well connected in playing his usual Wes game with a lot of rookies, and I thought it was really going to take him a lot farther than right after the halfway point.
Yeah, I mean, his storyline was much more interconnected and present in the season than Johnny's was. I mean, you know, we know about Wes's connection to Swaggy and Bailey. We know about Wes's connection to Dee. We know a lot of what he's been doing. Pretty much all of Banana's content has been in relation to Wes. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, we see that a bunch of people apparently are, like, in love with Johnny and, you know, would never do anything to hurt him and, you know, want to have his babies. or something. And I haven't seen any of that this season. So, you know, for whatever reason, we're not getting any of that content from Johnny, even though we were getting the stuff from Wes, but Wes was the one to go here.
Yeah, Scally, who does Bananas turn to now that Wes is like, you know, his partner in crime is gone? I mean, he still has Kyle. Nani's always a number in his corner. I think Anissa is probably always in his corner. But in terms of people that are, well, does he even need numbers at this point? Everybody else still needs a red skull. They're going to throw each other in over each other unless somebody is like super threatened by running a final against Bananas. Does he even have anything to worry about? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he has to stay out of, what, one or two more eliminations where people are not going to, you know, I think there's like three guys left without a skull, maybe four. So, like, they're really going to be dying to get in there. And I just don't see people taking that shot so aggressively, especially when I think it's easy to forget because Bananas has gone out early the last couple times, but he has at least half this house like absolutely in love with him, to the point where Josh is like crying not to go in against his best friend Bananas. Kyle's like, I can't hurt him, I don't want to go against him. So it is like he has Nani and Melissa and Anissa, so he has numbers there.
Yeah. This feels like a good time to talk about Josh, because Josh had a interesting connection here to both Bananas and Wes, where tonight we saw Josh desperately not wanting to go against Bananas. He said that he's like his emotional rock in this house, where if Bananas left, Josh would not be okay. And Josh obviously doesn't want to go home himself. We see him talk about how he's, you know, fighting for his family. He wants to make sure they're financially supported, yada, yada, yada. And then the West deal was the fact that the entire season, it was Josh thinking there was this rivalry that Wes was not willing to match up against him with. He was like, I'm not giving him any of my attention. And then, you know, Wes decides to put himself in here, and now Josh is going to stay in the game longer than Wes. So, Taryn, I don't know if you've been, you know, if your thoughts on Josh as a challenger have been documented much at all. What do you make of him as a competitor? You've seen him play three times now, I think, or three or four. What do you make of him overall and in this season?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the challenge is where Josh goes to lose all of his friends, right? Like, that's all of his Big Brother friends. Like, I don't know how he's managed to alienate, like, every single Big Brother player that he's gone on the challenge with, but it seems like he's gotten there.
Not all of them. I mean, this season, absolutely. But, you know, if...
Last season, it was Polly. This season, it's Swaggy and Bailey.
Okay, good point.
I you have these sort of, like... Like, you have these relationships with people that could really serve you in a great way, and he seems to be, like, really aggressively turning on them for no reason.
And he goes really far in every season. Like, he's past the halfway point here, and... You know, it doesn't seem like anybody's threatened by him. Like, is the only reason that he consistently sticks around late into the season and then goes home right before the final because he's such a non-threat? Like, do you see any other, like, I mean, is it attributed to his social game in the house, or is it mostly just the non-threat thing?
I mean, I think that he's maybe it's just not a big enough sample size. I mean, I think that there are probably a couple of situations where he could have gone in early here, but there were plenty of like rookies to throw in instead. Especially with this Red Skull thing, I think that probably one thing that helps him is his size, and so in any like big physical kind of elimination, people are going to be a little more hesitant to go against him if they're smaller than him. But beyond that, it seems like for the most part he can be out strategized in most of these, and so it wouldn't surprise me if he goes in soon as sort of a, all right, this is going to be my layup.
Yeah, Scally, what's the over-under if I give you, I don't know how to set this up, but say 0.5 elimination wins for Josh, over-under, in his challenge career, is what I meant to say.
In his challenge career? Yes. I'm taking the over, he's going to have one elimination win. I definitely think that's going to happen. Has it not yet
at all? It has not happened yet. And okay, looking at the competition for this season, I cannot see it happening this season. And we kind of, the reason I ask is because I feel like we've been talking a lot about how are we potentially at the end of Josh's run sometime soon?
I don't think so. I think I could see Josh taking a break. I don't see him disappearing off the face of the challenge earth like Natalie did for, you know, a couple seasons at least. But I think Josh actually has a fighting chance, depending on the elimination, against a Kyle or a Swaggy, really. Don't know so much about Corey, but I mean, you see him and Amanda almost take down Cam and Ashley on War of the Worlds 1. So there's too many eliminations that are like really fluky, and I don't think that, you know, I'm taking the under 0.5.
I wonder if anybody would. I feel like
I'm sure someone would.
I don't know.
There are too many. I don't think anybody will lose all eliminations because there are ones that are kind of random, like the one we just saw. I think Josh could easily beat somebody in the elimination we saw tonight.
If we said that Josh was guaranteed 10 more seasons, I would absolutely agree with that. But the fact that he was an alternate for this season and only got on because Pauly didn't make it, which is just a rumor, but I have been running with it and believing it, and it just feels like his spot is not as guaranteed as it has been in late seasons. I feel like we've seen everything that we need to see from Josh at this point, and I feel like they don't need to keep him. As much as I like him and I've praised so much about why he's on the show, I literally just put out a tweet like an hour ago saying people need to be nicer to Josh. I still just feel like there is so much new blood that they want to start getting in there, and so many veterans, and like look at season 36. Everybody is going to answer the call for season 36 because everybody is going to want to get out of their houses and go film a season of a reality show. Everybody is going to say yes. And when they all say yes, is Josh going to make it on the cast?
But then how are they going to get their drama in between Big Brother players if they don't have Josh to be friends with them and then not be friends with them anymore?
I don't know. They're going to have to get Paulie and Kyle back out.
All of the other Big Brother players are super willing to just like be chill and get along.
But there's also like new Big Brother players that I'm sure they want to get in there, whether it's more Big Brother 20 people or whether it's just, I don't know, when the BB21 people can get in there. Maybe not right away if they have that 2-year contract. But I don't know. I'm just saying, I feel like the competition is a little more tough at this current moment, and I definitely would say that I would expect to see Josh again beyond this season. It just feels like, I don't know, I feel like he's still got a lot to prove on this show. So, I don't know, but you want to use this as an opportunity. Let's also talk about the other Big Brother players, because they're really not super involved in this episode, but all four of our Big Brother 20 people, Taryn, are still in the game.
Yeah, I was thinking about like who's left. We obviously Swaggy and Bailey, and then I was like, right, Casey was in this, and then, oh yeah, Fessy's on the season. Yep. Forgot about that. he's been pretty quiet. Obviously a very physical presence on the show, but you know, in terms of like entertainment presence, I found he was much more entertaining on Big Brother.
On Big Brother, really. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that show is about being entertaining, and they can take the Fessy Dodo segments and turn it into like a fun segment. And then on this show, it's just, you know, he just will go invisible while he's not giving them any kind of entertainment. So, yeah, I would probably agree with that. Casey, who is continuing to be wallpaper, she's doing well in the challenges. TJ was like super impressed with her for not falling off. She was like the first one to take a significant bump in that challenge tonight and not fall off. So Casey is impressing everybody, at least physically out there.
Yeah, I think both Fessy and Casey are impressive physically. And then it's really Swaggy and Bailey that are bringing the entertainment, I guess.
Yes.
Or I guess more Bailey even than Swaggy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Swaggy gets even less airtime than Fessy. I feel like he's had nothing this. I mean, he had, I guess, the one fight with Josh, but if Bailey wasn't there, I don't know that we would hear about Swaggy at all.
What do you think is going to happen to these two now that Wes is out of the game? Like, they don't have their protective shield anymore.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Bailey was saying, like, I need to win so that I can pull Swaggy in and he'll be safe. And even Wes had that deal. So, I mean, we're down to the last couple of eliminations, and it seems like Swaggy and Bailey are still trying to stay out, which, like, at this point, TJ already said you're at least through halfway through the season. We don't know how many eliminations there still are going to be. I feel like going into an elimination and having a decent showing is probably going to be better for you than to get to the end and, whoops, go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, well, this is the problem I had with Johnny's strategy in general, which is that, like, it makes sense to get pulled into the tribunal so that you have a choice, right? Like, mm-hmm. It made zero sense to me at all why Johnny would throw the challenge so that he can get voted in and have no control over who gets sent in next to him. I feel like if you win and you're in the tribunal, you basically, you get to make the call about whether or not you go in all on your own. You don't have to rely on the house voting you in. And you know way more information. You know basically what the challenge is going to be. And you know who your opponent is going to be. And so it's just like there's never a reason to want to lose the challenge and get voted in rather than be in the tribunal and have the choice.
So if he tries to win the challenge and he ends up winning, say it is D that wins on the other side, I don't know who the two of them agree. I mean, I have to imagine that D is going to go along with what Bananas says. Bananas is working with Wes. Like, I feel like they would probably pull in whoever. So, I mean, I'm, you know, just looking at it from a results-oriented perspective here where it does seem like he would have been able to work his way in the same thing. Yeah, exactly what you're saying, that he would have been mm-hmm. able to have that power anyway. So it doesn't make sense, especially like it's not like he can even say that he wasn't throwing it. Like he made that up later on. Like the way that he threw it by answering D, your mother, TJ, like he made it very clear from the beginning of this challenge that he had no interest in winning. Scally.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's surprising because, I mean, I was trying to think of it like, okay, Bananas can be like reasonably confident in that, like, where some people have very specialized skills on the challenge and like want to get into a certain type of elimination. I feel like Bananas is pretty even, like he's pretty physical. He's pretty good at puzzles, stuff like that. But this is Bananas' first elimination win since season 28. So then maybe he's not so good at just any elimination that gets thrown at him. And I really did not understand the choice of ensuring that you're the house vote rather than trying, because you can still volunteer if you try in the challenge.
Yeah, when he celebrated at the end of the elimination win, and he was like, I don't know what it is about this one. It's just the relief and the feeling of victory. It's just something like no other. And I was like, well, probably because you haven't experienced this in about 5 years. You have not won an elimination in a long time, and you probably thought that you would never win one again, or at least were worried about it, because he had lost, what, like 7 in a row? Like 5, 6, 7? It was a lot. So not surprised to see him have that kind of reaction there. But I mean, meanwhile, TJ is praising him up and down and like kissing his ass in every single second of that, from when he got down there until when that ended. So I don't know. That was a lot to take in.
Mike, did you know that Bananas is a legend of the show and that he's one of the best to ever play the game? Like, Corey was rolling his eyes so hard. I was like, really, TJ? Like, calm down.
And it's like, I get it. It's his 20th season. Here's a chance to highlight him, especially if this is the, you know, elimination that he ends up going home in. You know, you want to call that out before potentially he leaves. But he didn't leave. And instead, we just got this entire segment about how great Johnny Bananas is. And, you know, pretending like this elimination was, well, tell me, okay, I don't think we have actually talked about this elimination in detail just yet. Do we think this was the great elimination that we've been waiting years for, Scally?
No. And that's where every so often I'm like, the challenge can very easily like plan a different elimination, like depending on who goes in. And then something like this happens. I'm like, maybe they don't rig it and throw it at the last minute. So because I feel like if you know that Bananas is going in and then you know that Wes is like maybe going to volunteer himself, like give us the elimination. Because they actually have gone against each other one other time. I think it was Champs versus Stars or Chance vs. Pros. And they had like the absolute worst elimination match, even way, way, way worse than this, where they just were like blindfolded, like swinging sticks at each other. So I was like, all right, they could have given them a better one, but they have done it before. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
The editing here was weird to me because it felt like a mistake to hype it up in the way that they did, to be like, this is the culmination of 15 years. Here we go. This is going to be the best elimination of all time. But like, come on, they knew it wasn't, right? Like they knew they had a dud here. They had to have. I feel like they should have just given us the truth. They should have said, this should have been the greatest elimination of all time. Unfortunately, it's a crapshoot elimination. That's just how the challenge goes sometimes. That would have felt much more honest to me, and I would have felt a lot more engaged in what I was watching, I feel like. Them trying to pretend like this was epic when it wasn't, I feel like made it look even worse.
Yeah,
I feel like you can say, like, it's wild that these two, like, huge, huge, like, franchise names are going against each other, and this is an elimination where it really is anyone's chance. Like, it's totally even. And, like, frame it around that rather than being like, this is a crapshoot, and whoops. Like, you still can frame it where, like, wow, this is crazy, whereas not being like, this is absolutely epic, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, and the whole time, like, when TJ was framing it, you know, at the beginning, he was like, does anyone think they have what it takes to come down here and take out Bananas? I'm like, yeah, all of them probably. Usually he loses these. I don't know why we're making it seem like he's some kind of unbeatable, like, they do that with CT too, even though CT also loses eliminations, but it's, you know, the legend of CT. So I guess they're just hyping up their big stars to maybe like the casuals, maybe the new audience, to say like, this is somebody that you should know and respect. This is the Johnny Bananas, which I get it, but like, in reality, if you're binging this show and you just watched, you know, seasons 28 through 35 in a row, you've seen Bananas lose way more than you've seen him win. So that's a rough setup there.
And with Wes being the winningest elimination competitor of all time, so it's like, there is someone who has done more of these right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this feels like the kind of thing where, in the same way of like almost like Survivor 40, where it feels like maybe in 5-10 years we'll look back on this elimination and be like, oh, that was cool. Like the fact that after all those years they finally worked together and then went after each other. In the moment, I'm just kind of like questioning the decisions as to why they did it, and also like not super impressed with the elimination. But again, like same thing with Survivor 40, where so many things like people took issue with. I'm like, maybe as time goes on, we'll remember it more fondly. I don't know, maybe not.
Well, I liked the. No, Karen, go ahead.
It's the kind of thing where the events themselves, and this is what the edit was trying to hammer on, it, like the events themselves, if you take out the context, can seem epic, and it's almost like they're setting themselves up for the future when, you know, 5 seasons from now, 10 seasons from now, they're going to be like, remember when, you know, now we got Johnny versus Wes 2.0. It's going to be, this time it's the rematch. Back when this all started, when they were friends and they went against each other in that season, what an epic conclusion to their story. And like, when you're a couple years removed and you get the context stripped from it, the events do stand for themselves and you can tell a better story around it, which is I think what they're doing with Johnny in the first place, where they're like, oh, best challenge competitor of all time, despite the fact that he's been losing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, despite how much they hyped this up, I enjoyed the moments like after the elimination way more. Like the whole elimination, I was like, really the whole episode, I was like, okay, they've previewed this so heavy in the season, like I knew this was coming. And then during the elimination, I was like, I guess whoever spots a yellow cylinder first is gonna win, considering they both broke every single box anyway. But for Bananas, like, to be, you know, like sitting on his, like imagining himself sitting on his porch as like a 90-year-old, like reminiscing about the good old days on the challenge and talking about how his biggest regret was never working with Wes, I was like, okay, I know I'm emotional these days, this is kind of a lot, but like, it was, then they're like, we love each other. I was like, oh, okay. And it felt more genuine than them hyping up the elimination as they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really thought that they like might make out. Honestly, that's just they were all over each other. Wes was kissing his sweaty little head. I'm sorry, Bananas was kissing Wes's sweaty little head, and I was like, "You guys need to just take a shower first together. I don't care if you do; it's fine. Just And I'm sure you guys have seen.
A brief theory on this, which is that I saw that they were kind of like they seemingly are still friends after the fact. I don't know if that's fair game in this podcast, but I'd seen that, and with that in mind, I had kind of figured I bet Wes loses because I don't know if this I don't know if this scene or if this relationship is the same if Johnny loses. I don't know if this works out as well if Johnny is the one that Wes calls himself down and then beats Johnny. I feel like Johnny might be a bit more upset about it than Wes was here. Because Wes only has himself to blame. You know what I mean? Yeah. I called myself down. I lost. Johnny might be betrayed a little bit by Wes, but it turned out well, so it's fine. Whereas if Johnny goes home here, I think we see a different Johnny. I don't know if Johnny's going to give the same confessional about how when he's looking back at it, he's going to wish that he was friends with Wes more often. Mm-hmm. More often.
Yeah, no, I definitely can understand and agree with that point because Wes, I feel like Wes, especially like knowing history of Wes, like he has taken many hits before. He's taken many losses before, I should say. And Bananas has been taking like consistent losses lately in a way that Wes made a final two seasons ago on the first season that you watched, I guess, the Turbo season. Wes made the final, came in third place. So it's not like he has a completely terrible resume since he's made his return to the show, while Banana's ego is probably super bruised from the fact that he keeps going out early and doing terrible in every season lately. So you can definitely see that Wes probably handled this a lot better than Bananas would have. And I mean, still remains to be seen, obviously, how Bananas ends up doing here. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, he ends up doing well because, like, I agree with you that it seems like he is just, well, you're probably not talking about, like, outside of the show, outside of the edit stuff, because I don't think you see any of that. But like on social media, everything seems to still be good, like and friendly between the two of them. Like their banter back and forth on Twitter and on Instagram, like they seem fine. There is a picture out there. I don't know if we ever brought this up on the podcast of a fan art of Wes and Bananas, like very intimate. Like it was a cartoon picture, like both of them like shirtless, holding each other. I know at least at Scally seen this, and both of them, both of them have posted this picture in like appreciation of the artwork. So. They definitely still seem to be on the same page. And if they are on 36, I expect them to work together again.
Yeah, I got a little sense of like, well, now that I've proven once and for all that I'm better than Wes, let's be friends and never go in an elimination again. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, and I definitely do agree. I think Bananas is probably a little bit pettier than Wes also, where he might hold the grudge a little longer, where like Wes can kind of see past that. I thought it was interesting where Bananas is talking about after the elimination also, where he said that he wouldn't have done it, where he would not have actually thrown himself in against Wes. And I want to know, do you guys believe that? And do you think it's more because he thinks that he would have had a better chance against someone else or because their friendship was so close?
I mean, the idea that he wouldn't have done it out of loyalty seems pretty crazy because isn't this the guy that, like, screwed over his partner at the end of a season?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, he wouldn't have willingly gone in against Wes, I don't think, but not because of loyalty. I think it would have been because he would be afraid to go up against Wes. I think he would ideally not have had that be the case, but he just had it in his head from the position that he was in that he was, you know, ready to go get his Red Skull, and then Wes was the one that decided the matchup for him. I think if he knew that Wes was going in, I think he would have been like, oh, no, I'll wait for Swaggy or I'll wait for Josh or, you know, somebody else to potentially Kyle. I mean, him and Kyle are friends, but if he wants to make it the final, Kyle is a safer bet that you could probably beat. So I don't know.
Sure. And I think that it's partially like he's already won, so it's really easy to say that and like look good for camera. And then also that I think Banana's biggest fear is exactly what happened to Wes of throwing yourself in against your biggest rival for forever and going home.
Right. While we're like kind of closing out this rivalry, at least for this season, it's, you know, Bananas and Wes, Taryn, even if you haven't seen every season that they've been on together, I mean, you kind of did in that montage. You got all you need to know, I guess. But even if you haven't seen all of that, you know that there's like a detailed history between the two of them. Do you like has it ever crossed your mind? I'm sure it has to imagine what a world would be like where Big Brother was like just a constant recycling of players in the way that the challenge is with all of the different storylines that Big Brother has built up over the years.
I mean, it makes the, you know, quote unquote politics a lot less interesting, in my opinion. It's kind of like how, you know, in game theory, when you have the prisoner's dilemma, if you're you change how you play depending on how many times you're going to play. And so there's a lot less incentive to lie or backstab or make these big strategic moves when you know that everything is going to be shown and you're going to be playing again with many of the same people over and over. It kind of behooves you to just kind of be, you know, chill and not betray anyone. Although I guess the incentive to betray people is that you can sort of be more entertaining and you're more likely to be asked back if you do something like that. So mm-hmm. there's a little bit of balance there, but that's not as interesting strategically. And so if I imagined that world, it would be a sad world for me.
Right. I mean, like, look at Bananas, who went that route with a huge giant move of stealing the money and then goes on for the next how many consecutive seasons to not make a final, not win an elimination. And, you know, he was invited back on the show each and every time, was on the show each and every time. But I mean, if you're looking for the paychecks, good. You did the right thing. If you're looking for consecutively doing well and, you know, more often having better results, it didn't work out in his favor. So that would be pretty interesting.
The world that you just brought up has Big Jeff coming back to run the Good Guys Alliance for like the 10th season in a row. So I'm not in on that world.
I don't know. I don't know if he'd last that long. I think he got out just in time.
Who are like the recent players that would be like in that rotation? Like somebody from Big Brother 19 or 20 that would be still playing like this coming summer. That'd be a strange reality to live in. They probably would have Caitlyn on there still. They would probably have Tyler would be Paul. Back every single season. Paul would be back every season since then. And that would be such a weird dynamic to see them like constantly back in there playing the same game for the same 99 days. It just wouldn't work.
I mean, you just look at the like who are the most popular players within with other players outside of the house. Like in general, those are the players that are gonna do well, and in general, those are not the best players that you see in the house.
Right, and there's just not enough spots on that show. Like you have 32 spots or 28 spots, depending on the cast type of a challenge season, and you have 16 spots on Big Brother, so you can bring back, you know, you still got to leave room for rookies to move in to change up some kind of dynamic of the game. So yeah, that wouldn't work on Big Brother, but happens on the challenge. So what are you gonna do? All right, any other final thoughts, Scally, on West and Bananas before we kind of move around to some other people? I think we kind of got most of it.
Yeah, no, we're good. I do like that Wes got in one last like good troll move by not calling Josh into the interrogation one final yes. time. But otherwise, everything was good there.
All right, let's talk. This episode was like 57,000% Wes and Bananas, and the rest of it was trivia. There was, you know, a little other stuff throughout there. But the challenge, obviously being trivia, it's a fan favorite. It's a TJ favorite, and that goes to, that's an understatement. Taryn, do you have any, like, fond memories of trivia challenges? I feel like they have not been as good in recent history as they were in the older challenges, but do you like when this one pops up?
I liked this one. I mean, my biggest issue, I think, with the show overall is how difficult it is to track the challenges, to like understand what's happening while it's happening without being like explicitly told. And I often feel like I'm just kind of waiting to hear who did better or who won, which is not a super entertaining experience. Mm-hmm. So this is way better, in my opinion, just on the fact that I can follow what's happening alone. Every single time a question is asked, I know either this person's going to drop a level or they're going to choose someone else to drop a level. And I know exactly where everyone stands the entire time. And that's fantastic. Add on top of that, TJ acting like a corrupt overlord who is, you know, maniacally laughing at them as he drops them into the water, which is hilarious. Them having to, you know, choose somebody else to drop is great. There's some drama attached to that. There's some strategy attached to that. I thought this was and even like the other challengers on the sidelines who were like laughing and cheering along. This was just like a lot of fun the whole way through.
Yeah, definitely my favorite so far this season. It's probably their favorite because they get to answer a question, they get multiple choice options, and then they get a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Scally, what'd you make of this trivia?
I didn't love this one in particular. I kind of find trivia to be a little bit like the Snatch Game on Drag Race, where, yeah, it's fun, but it's still definitely overhyped every season. I think that ultimately, like, having two strikes was a weird choice. Maybe they did do three strikes and just edited it down, but it went really quick. Like, all right, guys, we got this rigged for half an hour, so let's get through this real quick. There was some good moments, like Nani thinking that elephants laid the smallest eggs in the world.
Mm. It did seem like they were up there for a while, though. I mean, the fact that, like, Dee, by the end of her run, and then Wes and Rogan by the end of theirs, like, they seemed like they were up there for at least, like, 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, I was super confused about why they were so tired, because they were just hanging on a thing. Like, it wasn't that. I've seen much worse on both Big Brother and Survivor, so I don't know why it was so difficult if they weren't there for a while.
Yeah. Poverty Shallow.
The only thing I noticed was
should have been on the stage.
The only thing I noticed was that the things they were hanging on to were kind of flimsy, so I feel like their weight would, like, really pull them back, so they had to, like, really aggressively hold on. But otherwise, yeah, they seemed to tire out immediately. Like, Maddie was, like, done.
Mm-hmm. And any thoughts, I guess? I mean, the strategy of this challenge, for the most part, seemed like people got the right answers. Not the right answers. Like, they did the right moves when somebody was about to drop rather than making an enemy. For the most part, people got the person that was about to drop. The only exception, I feel like, when Rogan dropped Swaggy, I feel like there was other options that he could have gone with. If I'm remembering correctly, that there was, like, somebody else that was already on one. Kyle, I think, was already on one, and he chose to drop Swaggy instead. So that was a... choice, but
yeah, I mean, I think with all else equal, you want to eliminate somebody, because that makes the question come back around to you faster, right? And that's better for you overall, because otherwise you can get put in a situation like Swaggy did, where somebody else can answer two questions before you even get one, and you're out before you have a chance to do anything else,
right? I'm, like, looking through my notes for highlights here. Melissa dropping, knowing that there's a baby in there, made me scared. Taryn, did you know Melissa was pregnant and she had her baby?
I didn't. She was pregnant at the time of filming?
She was pregnant all throughout filming, and she just had
her
baby.
Did she know?
She did not know. She got home, found out soon after. We obviously don't know when she specifically got home, because she's still in the game, but she ended up finding out then, and she since had her baby about 2 weeks ago.
Man, so, they didn't want her to go in because of her pretty hair, but I guess there were other reasons, too.
Yeah, so that was a... scary moment to see her drop in the water. I'm like, obviously,
well, we know there's a happy ending.
Yeah, so. It's still like it's still scary. I don't know. I was worried, but yeah, like you said, everything's fine. D getting everything right was a shock to me. I don't know if the questions were
some
easy.
Of those questions were way easier than others.
Yeah, she got one about chess, right? And I'm sure.
Yeah, what chess piece can move any space? Like, who would possibly get that question wrong?
Me.
I was gonna say. Chess. Yeah, I know chess, but I was thinking that, like, maybe it's a little bit of, like, our, like, audience that, like, might know, but I definitely think that right. There are a lot of people who are not into strategy games who would know chess at all.
Chess has got to be, like, the game that people know the rules for the most of any game.
These people are definitely more on the checkers level that are being cast on the challenge.
I feel like checkers rules are more obscure than chess rules.
But you know what the pieces are. There's red and there's black, and you just get yours to the other side and call it a day.
Yeah, but if somebody asked you, you know, how were you allowed to move in chess, in checkers, would you immediately know, like, how many spaces, like, what directions?
I mean... I know checkers and I don't know chess, so I would be able to give you a much, much better explanation as to how checkers works. That's me. She gets the question right, but poor Dee gets stuck up there screaming for them to lower her down. So all around, some fun Dee stuff there. TJ losing his mind was great.
Yeah, I did laugh very hard at, because they, like, hyped up, like, oh my god, Bananas, like, insulted TJ, and then TJ just laughs absolutely hysterically, so that was pretty funny.
That was like, oh, TJ, can we get a better take of, like, you looking mad and then being happy? Like,
yep.
Yeah, the way they, like, cut to commercial after that with his face, like, completely blank, or just very angry, and then he comes back and he's completely fine. I mean, Bananas has made a career out of saying, suck my ass, TJ. And this is a very tame version of that kind of sentiment. So not much surprising there.
Later in the episode, you literally get TJ sucking Banana's ass, calling him a legend every 5 minutes.
There you
so.
Go. Exactly. On the women's side, my only disappointment, I think, is the fact that Jenna was not there for this challenge. Scally.
Always a highlight. I mean, Jenna is a previous trivia challenge winner, so don't besmirch her name.
I would have loved to see her remake history and do it all over again. Jenna is Jenna. Jenna's Jenna.
Fair.
On the guy's side, we have Bananas obviously drops really fast. Swaggy gets a question right, gives Josh a strike. Josh, this is what you were talking about, Taryn. Everybody commenting from the sides as Josh flails his way to the water.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah. That
well,
was
didn't Swaggy not do Josh, or am I getting that wrong?
No, he did Josh.
Oh no, because sorry. Josh. It was Jenny with D. That didn't do it.
Yeah, Josh gets the strike and he immediately...
Yeah, and then he was drops. Like, oh, you're dead to me, like he wasn't already.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's making fun of him for falling. Corey gets it wrong. He holds on. Kyle gets one wrong and holds on. So some of them are proving their strength to TJ and not letting him have that opportunity to laugh. Nelson and the dodo music I took note of as he gets that 50-50 confessional. Nelson is just very dumb. Bananas. What else? Anything else here, Scally, that we should flag up from this challenge?
I did think it was pretty ironic, and I think Rogan also saw the irony in him getting the question with the answer cheetah and staring straight into the camera, knowing sounds an awful lot like cheater. Mm-hmm. But so I thought that was funny. Otherwise, I just did not like the decision to not tell them that it was for $5,000, and I don't understand it.
I totally was blindsided by that as much as those guys were when he dropped the announcement about $5,000. But like, did they do it strategically to make that point that TJ made, like you should always play to win?
If you're going to do that, then do it in week one and not like when there's two more challenges left at best.
I suppose. Yeah. I also have a note of the Bailey line where Swaggy gets dropped, or at least he gets a mini drop from Rogan, and Bailey starts screaming about how he's an evil asshole. So I mean, that's
not wrong.
That's the two of them, Bailey and Swaggy. That's how their content is always going to be tied together. I heard recently Bailey and Swaggy, maybe it was the two of them recently were on the QLC podcast, which is Caitlin and Morgan, both known names in the reality TV world. They have a podcast, Quarter Life Crisis, and they had Bailey and Swaggy on, which if you ever listen to an episode, you should listen to that one of that podcast, because it was done this week, obviously, with everything going on, and Bailey and Swaggy gave some amazing insight and just a whole lot of it really gave me like just a lot of perspective, just from, it's like, these are people that you watch on a regular basis. These are people that are in our universe, and between them and the podcast that Wendell was doing, it's nice to have people that are like close to home explaining these things, where it just gives you like a better understanding. And not to go off on a tangent, but that was a good podcast. I would recommend people check it out. Yes, so that's it, I guess, for trivia. They both get the $5,000 reward there. Wes and Dee are going to pull in Rogan to the tribunal, who tries to get $5,000 for himself. And TJ thinks it's cute that he tries, but not going to happen. So that's our tribunal, Scally.
That is. As soon as you get like those two guys down at the end, I felt like it was pretty obvious what was going to happen. But did enjoy seeing Rogan's face when he realized that he just handed over $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Well, according to him, he was going to lose anyway. So
that's fair. Mm.
The old Kim Spradlin falling off of the immunity challenge argument. Hate to see it. Any takeaways from the Burger King feast, Taryn? The crowns were present, and there was a lot of food on that table.
Well, my question was, were they all impossible burgers or whatever they're called? Or were there actual burgers as well?
I don't know.
Would not be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Gotta subscribe to Wes's Patreon in order to get that question.
I can't say that I've been to a Burger King to get an impossible burger, so I guess I don't know what the difference is.
No, I have not. I have not either. I don't go to Burger King if I can avoid it. They are at the bottom of my fast food power rankings, so Haven't been there.
I don't think
a while.
I've been to Burger King in like a decade.
Honestly, no, I went like a year ago, but yeah, I try to avoid it. They are they're having some Wendy's. See, I'm thinking of Wendy's because it's better than Burger King. They're having some Burger King, and they're just debating whether or not Wes is going to go in. Should you go in? Should they not go in? Let's just jump ahead to the deliberation where the three of them are going to have the opportunity to, of course, talk to three of their selections of who could potentially go in. Obviously, none of them end up going in. We have Corey, Swaggy, and Kyle that get pulled in there. Scally, why are we still getting this segment if there's not that many people left to go in?
I feel like we're kind of going out of our way to get good Corey content, so that feels like one reason.
He's been all over the place despite having no role in the season at all. Yep.
And I think that partially it's because Corey at one point was kind of seen as like, oh, well, this could be the new face of the challenge. Mm-hmm. But he's been gone for a while, so I don't know if they would give him this much screen time if it was only that. But at the same time, the challenge doesn't usually have like, or at least has not in a while, had like obvious winner edits. So I don't usually subscribe to that type of thing. But I definitely am, you know, noticing it.
Yeah. Scally, did you have any thoughts on Corey and Nelson supposedly or feeling like they were the ones that egged Wes on enough to want to go in against Bananas?
I did not even catch that. But I mean, I'm not giving Nelson a whole lot of strategic credit in anything, but it's interesting at least that they feel that way. I think that it probably does have a little bit to do with it, but I don't think that Wes is going to be convinced by the likes of Corey and Nelson entirely.
No, I'm talking about the scene where they were like dancing by Wes's bed after the nominations and mm-hmm. they were like jumping up and down.
I feel like I'm being manipulated.
Right. I was like, well, yeah, definitely not Nelson doing a whole lot here. They were just trying to toy with Wes, and it really, you know, I think Wes already kind of had his mind made up. I don't know if that did anything.
Well, it's interesting that Corey would be manipulating Wes to go in when Corey is actively campaigning to throw himself in. So probably doing harm to your own cause there.
Right. And when they get to Corey in the deliberation part, it seems to be the same thing every single time. Wes is doing a pretty good job managing these conversations, I would say, with Wes and Bananas by telling them, like, look, I know how this usually goes between us. We're usually not on the same page. But let's try to make something happen. I won't go after you if you guys come after me. Taryn, this is your first exposure to Corey, I believe. He's not been on any of those recent seasons, so I would say it definitely is your first exposure to Corey. So is there anything that you have noticed about him, or is it just his glowing edit that we've all kind of picked up on?
I mean, he seems chill.
Mm-hmm.
That's I don't know, like it's kind of a situation where like I'm not sure why he's friends with Nelson, because he seems very not Nelson, but my assumption with most people from the challenge is that even if they're chill now, they probably didn't used to be.
Mm-hmm. Corey, very charismatic now, and like I enjoy him on the show. I am like finding myself liking him, but definitely can make mistakes, may have made some recently, but he eventually seems to actually be like putting in time and learning. So I am liking the modern version of Corey that we're getting.
Yeah, for sure. And like we've said, the personal content is just pouring out every chance they get. You know, he's getting on a call with Taylor, who is like not pregnant at all, or you know, a very small belly going there, and then now she's had the kid for like a month now, so all of these babies are just popping out left and right. And so lots of stuff with him and Ryder and his family back home. So not surprised to see that, since he's been having a seemingly good season. If it was, you know, going south, I don't think they would give him anywhere near this much content. They would just be like, all right, we've tried, we might be giving up with Corey at this point, but I think he's buying himself more time on the show by doing well so far. We have Kyle also get pulled into this deliberation. Kyle seems a little scared. Do we believe that he's scared, Scally, or is he just kind of like, he knows he's not going to get thrown in? I don't know what's going on there.
Not to the extent of Josh, but Kyle did seem shaken up to go against Bananas. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he was like, I don't think I can hurt him. Like, he was genuinely like, this is one of my good friends and I don't want to go in there. And I did like his quip with Wes where he's like, I'm going in next week. And Wes says like, no, that's what if that's my week? And he says, well, then I'll see you down there. So I think Kyle's funny. And I think he knows that he has to go down there. Kyle's not like a bad strategic player necessarily, but I think that he knows like Bananas is decent enough and it's his like friend, so he's not gonna argue to get down there anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there are two Kyles. One is like really self-deprecating, can be pretty funny, I really enjoy just like his random quips, Kyle. And then there's also like whiny Kyle, and I feel like we got a little bit of whiny Kyle tonight, and I was like, go back to being fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when he's nervous and when he's not nervous. When he's not nervous, he has so much fun in the confessionals and he's a great television character. When he's nervous, he gets whiny and he gets like he's afraid to go in because he knows that he'll probably not win. He usually doesn't win eliminations. He won, I think, one when he was partnered with Brad a couple seasons back. But like otherwise, he's not the most impressive competitor on the male side. So reason to be scared if he's.
Yeah, I feel like I always think of Kyle as like one of the weaker male competitors, but then I do go back to, was it his first season on Vendettas when he gets to the final and like everyone's like, he can't run, he's a smoker, he's this, he's that, he's not in shape, and then he completely holds his own. So I always hesitate to completely like rule him out, but at the same time, like, he's been back for a number of seasons now and I'm waiting to see if like the switch flips where he gets taken seriously as a competitor by, you know, training to be here.
Yeah.
I just think that like in all of the different kinds of eliminations, he kind of falls short in almost mm-hmm. every aspect. Like I can see him being a good runner, but that doesn't really help you in any of the eliminations.
Yeah, at least on this season.
Yeah. What was the elimination that he lost last season? Theo, right? He lost against Theo in some like...
He was dragging boulders or something.
Right. We're getting down to it. A lot of the people that don't have red skulls left, I don't have the exact list, but I mean, it's Kyle, it's Swaggy, it's...
Josh and Corey.
Josh and Corey. So, I mean, is it going to be some kind of combination of those four that are guaranteed to be the next ones in? Is anybody with a red skull going to end up going in again? I don't know, but one of these guys are going to have to get them if they want to make it to the final. TJ has maybe said that once or twice. Swaggy being the other person that does not, or that doesn't go in, but he gets called in here as a possibility. Taryn, are we impressed at all with Swaggy's gameplay this season?
I think that strategically and socially, he's done well. I mean, I think that it's hard to separate him from Bailey. I think they've both done well. They seem to have really gotten in good with Wes. It definitely was a big mistake to kind of out that in front of Josh, who then, you know, kind of outs it in front of the rest of the players. And I don't know if he's like the person that Wes was going to be most loyal to necessarily, but they've done pretty well to keep themselves out of the vote and out of the, you know, just elimination in general. So now the question is, can they get into the elimination and win? And I think they're both capable of winning eliminations, so it's just going to be a matter of getting themselves in when they might not have any allies left to voluntarily put them in. And there's actually not a lot of incentive to put people in that haven't had a red skull yet.
Right. Yes. So I don't know. I don't know that I see. I mean, if out of those four, if you're going to pick two that are, say that like those four are the next, you know, four to go in for guys' eliminations, I think you got to go Corey at this point over mm-hmm. the others. And who was the other one? Not Josh, not Swaggy. Oh, no, Kyle. All right. So, yeah, then maybe I can see Swaggy going, taking it over Kyle. He is especially, you know, he's been all over the screen this season. He's been getting a lot of content. So I can easily see him going all the way towards the end.
I really think it's a toss-up between those three. I think it completely depends on the elimination they get, like what day it ends up being, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I really think that those are like three pretty evenly matched competitors.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I feel like that's kind of the most mostly it for like things that happened in this episode. I mean, we could talk a little bit about Bananas and the nomination ceremony. It pretty much goes exactly how he wanted it to go. Taryn, you were criticizing the fact that he, you know, well, we all were, but the fact that he decided he wanted to go this route, but it worked out exactly how he wanted. Nobody challenged him to say his name.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't know if it worked out exactly how I wanted, because I think he would have preferred Wes to not come down. Although I guess when Wes did come down and then he beat him, it was even more what he wanted. But it wasn't necessarily what he wanted before that happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's still not something I would say was a good move.
Right. I mean, watching him go around the house, like his strategy of like jumping right on it as soon as they got back from that challenge, he was asking everybody in the house, say my name when no one is around you, say baby. And he was saying that he wanted to get out in front of everybody else because he figured that the people like Josh or Kyle or whoever, Corey was one of them, he thought they were all going to try to do the same thing. So if he spreads his name out early, then he figures that he doesn't have to, you know, wait another week. And then he said, you know, he doesn't want to fight eight people for it next week. So Scally, any final takes of Bananas' move?
I am more so curious to look at it from like everyone else's perspective. Like, is there someone else that should have like really been stepping up? But I think that probably Josh is so worried about like not getting the call back. I feel like, again, like I said, I feel like for Swaggy and Bailey, like it's time. You're better off losing with a decent showing in an elimination than just showing up at the finals mat and not having a skull in order for getting a callback next season, because what are the chances that Swaggy's pulling out the win in the end right now?
Right. Probably not that great, but hey, I don't know.
Is that really the way to go, though? Because I feel like not having a red skull and therefore not getting to compete in the final is at least a unique way to go out, whereas if you were just kind of meh the whole season and then kind of just quietly go out on an elimination like everyone else, like, is that really the best way to get an invite back?
My thought is that like Swaggy and Bailey, especially as a couple, have been present enough. And when you factor into like an elimination, especially if it's going to end up being against like a Bananas or a Wes, then you're probably going to get some kind of edit. Whereas if you don't factor into the story in the end game like at all, I kind of feel like it's going to give you less of a chance. So at least like an elimination against one of these bigger names is going to get you like a big episode.
Yeah, I feel like at least if you went out without a red skull, you could be like, I played a perfect game. I intentionally was not, I was able to keep myself out of eliminations and it screwed me over. And it's kind of, you know, at least it's something, right?
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't know that like challenge casting is caring about like the perfect strategic game being played.
Yeah,
probably not. No, they.
But claiming you played the perfect game, they seem to really like. So
yeah, you got to be able to tell a story. But that's like all reality TV, not just the challenge. So. I wanted to ask you, Taryn, if you had any thoughts on, it was obviously a guy's elimination day, but any thoughts on some of the women that we have not covered yet? We haven't really talked much about Nani, Maddie, Jenny, Melissa. We talked about just in terms of her being pregnant, but any of those names stand out that you've been impressed or not impressed by?
I just like Anissa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just seems like the only one there that's not... I guess the only present one that's not like, you know, getting drunk and throwing noodles at people, which I thought was just a real bad look overall. And also like not cheating on her significant other. And, you know, it's like, I feel like it's not a very high bar to clear at this point.
I actually know that leads into a really good question. Does that tell me that you are not a Kayla fan? And if you are or you're not, either way, I need the Taryn Armstrong thoughts on Stephen Bear. That's his full name.
Bear is at least entertaining. Like he's a scumbag, but like he's an entertaining scumbag. So I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's more like the scumbags that aren't entertaining that I'm really just like, well, I don't care to see people get drunk and start fights for no reason. But at least with Bear, like he's He's a little bit, he's got like a little bit of that like charm, a little bit of that entertaining quality to him.
Just a little bit.
I definitely don't love him as a person, though.
I don't think Scally would fight you on that.
No.
Yeah, I feel like I remember back when I was when we were talking about like you getting into the challenge or not, one of your biggest things holding you back was just the fact that you thought that it might just be all about the drunk and hookups and fighting and all that stuff, and you were like, yeah, I don't really need that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, exactly. And like that's the like if the only thing I saw Bear do was like get with the ladies, then I'd not be into him at all. But he's able to like also be like a good person in the confessional to like make jokes and be funny overall. And like I think that like really what I look for in the challenge is like who can be at least a little bit entertaining and confessional, because there's you know, there's not a lot else.
Yeah,
for me.
And what was I gonna say? Or I might have lost that thought, but I pulled also I pulled some a random bit of statistics here, not statistics, but the West Bananas thing. They were talking about Scally that this was 15 years in the making, right? That I guess they started on the show 15 years ago. 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 15 is the number. 15 years ago, let me tell you some of the ages of some of these cast members.
Oh no.
I'll start with some of the not so younger ones, but more younger ones. 15 years ago, Nani and Nelson were 16. Is that surprising?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's make it
surprising.
Worse.
I haven't thought about that.
Rogan and Maddie were 15.
Okay.
Corey.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Corey was 14. Fessy was 13. 15 years ago, Dee, Jenna, Kayla, and Kyle were all 12.
Oh, no.
15 years ago, Josh, Bailey, and Melissa were 11 years old. And 15 Oops. Years ago, Swaggy C was 10 years old. So was
wow.
I.
Wow. All right. That is puts a little bit of a different light on Melissa and Johnny hanging out on that one season. But otherwise, yeah.
I mean, Johnny's no stranger to an age difference. He is currently 38 or 39, and Morgan just turned 26. So no stranger to an age difference there. And they seem happy in love. And I don't know. I got nothing else. What else, Scally? Am I missing anything from this episode? Any other questions for Taryn before we let him go?
No, not from this episode. I feel like overall, like I said, big moment that probably was a little overhyped, but still fun.
Yeah. Taryn, do you like Jay on this season?
Yes, I liked Jay. I was able to actually root for him, which was nice.
Right. You've met Jay before, so I haven't.
Yes. But he was very, like, at the time that I met him, he kind of felt like it wasn't going to ever happen for him to get on the challenge, but he really, really wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jay made a good impact. You a big T fan? Don't say no. You'll probably get kicked off.
Oh, no. Yeah, she was great.
Okay.
Good.
I mean, I loved listening to her, at least.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that Jay, I actually like thought of it right after we stopped talking about it, but Jay is like my ultimate example of like go in and have like a good elimination showing, challenge showing. And like Jay goes home, you know, week four, but he's like a lock to get back asked back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he had to beat CT, though.
Yeah. I still feel like even if he takes out like Kyle or someone, like the fact that he's getting thrown in over and over like is good mm-hmm. enough. But you just want something where you show that like you can compete and you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. And have you been able to catch anything from social media? I know we've been kind of ruining the social media part of this podcast where we're recording so soon after the episode, so we're not catching a whole lot. Sorry to casual Anna, who enjoyed that part of the segment of the podcast. But I really haven't seen anything in the past hour that we've been recording. Hey, let's Allie and Brian usually got you covered with that kind of stuff. So if we miss anything, I'm sure you guys are checking them out as well, and they'll keep you covered there.
Yeah, that's fair. Neither of us are reading emojis as well as Allie is.
That's 100% valid. But you did say you wanted to bring something up about challengers in relation to like everything going on in the world right now. There's been some of them making taking a stand in the right direction.
Yeah, it's I figured it would come up at some point during the challenge, either organically or towards the end. Like, obviously, everyone knows, like, the world is in a crazy, you know, scary, horrifying, whatever you want to say, place. And just to shout out, like, I know that there's a lot of challengers that are very active, and so it was like encouraging to see, and I'm gonna give him credit, but Jordan and Tori were out there protesting, Casey, Leroy, Anissa, all out there protesting for Black Lives Matter, and a lot of other people posting, including the official challenge account, which the challenge as a show has always been like good with diversity in terms of their casting and everything. They definitely have had some reckoning with maybe hiding some of the more offensive moments to have gone on, but hoping that they stick by the statements that they've made and stuff like that, and actually stand by their contestants as it moves forward. But just encouraging to see, you know, there's a lot of people on the show who we get on for how not great of people they are moving out, and so wanted to at least be fair and acknowledge the people that are standing up there for what I think we believe, you know, we'll all would say is the right side.
Definitely endorsed by this podcast. Yeah.
I would say so, but I was like,
with that. If there's much controversy over that, I would be surprised. And speaking of, Taryn, you're doing a stream, I believe, tomorrow with my partner, my podcast partner, Amon Adwin, over on Twitch, right?
Yes. So, you know, I wanted to do something, you know, a little more than just, you know, I guess tweeting or whatever. I wanted to do like this sort of charity stream. And Amon had just recently played the All Winners edition of Sequester. And he had kind of asked me like, hey, can we go through my game and you like critique it? And I was like, sure, why don't we do that? Why don't we, you know, do this and sort of dedicate it to Black Lives Matter and try to raise some money while we're at it. And so that's going to be happening tomorrow, which is Thursday at noon Eastern. We're going to see what we can do.
There you go. Yeah, I get possessive over my podcast partners now that Amon and I have spent the past like 60 plus days talking to each other like every single day recording Glee podcasts. So I see him going off with somebody else and I feel like he's cheating a little bit, which was the same a little bit with Scally. But there was a reason why Scally had to go see other people at the time. So, anything else? Any other plugs? Of course, that's over on Taryn's Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, not Armstrong Taryn, right?
Yes.
Okay. And on Twitter, @ArmstrongTaryn. Anything else specifically? You have a lot going on. You have Big Brother 4. Tell us about it.
Yes, doing the Big Brother 4 blockumentary. We're going week by week through Big Brother 4. Something that I've been doing, especially for the recent ones, is that I'm also actually combing through the archives for the live feed updates that that people were doing at the time to give some extra context as to what was happening in the house and really get a good study about the games of the players that season. So you can check that out. Those are dropping weekly on Fridays. And then I'm also doing some off-season content for social strategy games in general, mostly focusing on Big Brother because we have those live feeds and there's much more detail that you can get into. But the first one was about the development of alliance structure, and the second one was about a little moment of Big Brother genius in Big Brother 17 when Vanessa utilized the twin twist to her advantage and restructured the entire house through it. And so those are going to be dropping on Mondays, just about varying topics in social strategy. So that's mostly what I'm up to. On Twitch, I stream generally Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern with some extras along the way.
Yes, challenge legends in that podcast, Liz and Julia Nolan, infamous for their time on the Challenge War of the Worlds season number one. So if you want more content,
I forgot they were on that.
How could you forget?
Nobody utilized the twin twist in that season.
Absolutely not. They did not have a very long life on the challenge and have not been back. So would be surprised if they ever do come back. So yes, thank you for joining us today, Taryn. It was very nice to finally get you in here, and hopefully you'll keep watching the show so we can make it happen again.
Yes, thanks for having me, and I apologize to anybody that wished that they got a guest that knew the show better.
No, stop. You've been good. Watching it plenty, and your strategy mind applies to all reality shows. So it was, of course, some great insight. So, Scally, what else? Anything else going on in our worlds? You can plug the choir room if you want to again, if you don't have anything.
Oh, yeah, no, the choir room, which I may or may not have been a recent guest on an episode that may be coming out sooner or later. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so definitely over there talking about what I find to be a spoiler alert, good episode of Glee. But otherwise, just on Twitter at Brian_Scally, and people just stay active and retweet or send out your own messages, whatever you can do, and keep donating.
Yeah, Taryn, when are you coming to talk Glee?
I think you've already gone through probably the episodes that I've seen.
So. All right.
Time for a bonus episode.
Yes. We'll find the episodes that Taryn has ever watched in his life. We'll go back and talk about them all again. So look forward to that.
Catch me up on the latest drama.
Oh, there's a lot.
Oh, boy.
We've been covering it. It'll be on the latest episodes that come out sometime soon. So, yeah, check that out. Choir Room Podcast. If you are a Glee fan, if you know any Glee fans, we would love if you came on over and joined us as we continue our Glee rewatch. But that's all that we have here for today for this episode of The Challenge. Wes is out, and Wes Nanas is no more. I don't know what they were called. So that's it for this week. We will catch you guys next week. And on Twitter, at Brian_Scally, at Matt Liguori. See you guys next week.